Ready? So this morning, for those of you watching, we've had some little bit of illness in the church, or some not able to be here, some others that are out doing other things. Our Sunday school teacher, Brother Doug, is filling in for another pastor this morning, and he should be back with us Wednesday evening. Just ask that you pray for all those. So we're going to continue on with our study on Abraham and Sarah in Genesis. We'll be in Genesis 18 this morning, chapter 18. I'm going to break this chapter into two groups. First, we're going to look at verses 1 through 15, where it's telling of the three visitors, the three men that came to visit Abraham and Sarah, and we see that story. And then 16 through 33, to the end of the chapter, is where Abraham pleads the case for Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember that story. And we'll get to that. I'm going to break this up into two sermons, so we'll get to that later, that part of the chapter later. We'll see. We may try to do it this morning. I studied it, but didn't really prepare any notes for it. I think I may wait till next time, because it ties right into chapter 19 and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we'll see how the Lord leads this morning with that. In chapter 18, we see the Lord's conversation with Abraham about his wife Sarah, about Abraham's wife Sarah, and about her bearing a son. And that's been God's promise all along with Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham was going to have a son. He was going to call his name Isaac. He was going to be the beginning of a great nation, the nation of Israel. If you remember from before, Sarah had been barren and unable to bear Abraham a child. Now, at this point in time, if you go back to verse 1 in chapter 17, we see Abram was 90 years old and 9. He was 99 years old at this point. Some say that, and if you remember what we looked through last time as far as the command from God of circumcision for the male members of the family, male members of the household there. Some say that these three visitors that come to Abraham, that this happened almost immediately after the circumcision took place. Whether it was I don't know that it was the same day, because it doesn't insinuate that, but at least a few days afterwards, maybe. At least a short time afterwards, it appears. And that seems to be the consensus with most of what I've read on this. But at this time, or if you go back to verse 17 in chapter 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So by the time Isaac is born, Abraham is going to be 100 years old, and Sarah is going to be 90 years old. Right now, at this point in time, they're 99 and 89. So they are, at least her for sure, is well past childbearing years. And even in their day and time, when people lived longer, remember, they both live to be over 100 years old. So, and at the stage of life that they're in at this time, and we'll see a little bit more about this later, but they're very active. They're not what we would consider, or what we think of, as people who were in their late 80s and late 90s in our day and time. These two have led a very active life. Remember when Abraham was 75 years old, he led an army into battle. He goes out and checks his flocks, seems like often. Don't know if it's every day or not, but it's often. We'll see in a little bit where Sarah is still cooking meals. And so they're very active. They're not just decrepit old people like we would normally think of at their age. Now, Sarah has known full well the promise God has made to Abraham of an heir and how that heir would be the beginning of a great nation. She's known that all along. This was something, being husband and wife and as close as they were, this is something that Abraham would have confided with her. She's heard him talk about it. She's heard others talk about it. And I don't know for sure. She may have even been present when Abram, or even in the next room, and overheard Abram talking to the Lord about these things. We'll see in a moment where when these three visitors are there, and we'll talk more about the three visitors in a moment, but Sarah's inside the tent while Abraham is outside the tent talking to these three men. She overhears that conversation. So it's very likely that she's overheard other conversations that Abraham has had with the Lord. So to make the point there, she knows full well the promise. We know when, if you remember, when Sarah offered her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham for a second wife, so Hagar could bear Abraham a son and an heir, and that did happen. She bare Abraham a son, but he was not the heir. Ishmael, we saw a little bit about him last time in chapter 17, but nowhere are we told that Abraham was never told that Ishmael would be his heir. And he certainly wasn't. He might have been a partial heir, but he was never the heir that God had promised. So Ishmael was not the son of promise. But the promise from God was for Abraham's son to come from Sarah, not Hagar or anybody else. So it was to come from Sarah. And like I said, at this ripe old age they're at, they've all but given up, not necessarily given up hope, but their faith is faltering because they're at that age where they know they don't have many more years to live, or at least according to the life expectancy of their time. It's not like before the flood when people lived to 700, 800, 900 years old. And some of those people, some of the men anyway, we don't know about the women, but the men were bearing children that whole time, were producing children that whole time. So it's not that way now with Abraham and Sarah. So let's start with verse 18 and we'll start reading. I'm sorry, verse 1 in chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, remember what I said earlier? Abraham is 99 years old. And what does he do? He runs. You ever seen a 99-year-old man run? No, not today. You're not gonna see that. But that's what I was getting at. Abraham and Sarah are the exception to the rule as far as life expectancy, even in their day. They are a very healthy, fit people, very healthy. And the only reason that I can think of that the reason for this is God had a plan for them. Because he planned on Sarah bearing a son for Abraham, and Abraham being the father. They had to be healthy to be able to do this. And notice Abraham bows himself toward the ground. Three men stood before him, and he bowed toward the ground. Notice these three men never get on to Abraham. You know, we've seen there's other cases in the Scripture where an angel would appear before a man, and the man would fall down on his face and begin to praise the angel like he was God, and he wasn't God, and the angel would stop him and tell him, don't do this. One instance I'm thinking right off the top of my head is John did so in Revelation. There are other examples of this also, but these three men don't get on to Abram or don't chastise Abram for bowing before him. And there's a reason for that. We'll read on and we'll see. If you go back to verse 1, I think we see the answer to that. And the Lord appeared unto him. So the Lord himself has appeared unto Abraham. Now remember, in the story of Moses, and this is a few generations later, remember the story of Moses when Moses would go up to the mountain and God would come before him and give him the commandments of the law, and he was to write down these things and then take them back to the people. And Moses, remember, asked about if he could see God, and God told him, "No, it'll kill you if I show myself to you, because of His Shekinah glory." And when God did agree to let Moses see just his hinder parts as he passed by, when Moses came off the mountain, his face was so bright that the people couldn't stand to look upon him. They had to put a veil over him. In this case, however, when the Lord comes before Abraham, he comes in the image of three men. And some say, and I tend to agree with this, that these three men were representative of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. I believe that's why there's three men here. And we'll get more into that in a moment. But these three men are the Lord appearing to Abraham. He ran to meet them from his tent door. Remember, he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He'd sit in the shade of the tent. And he bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." So now we see the Lord converse with Abraham outside his tent, in earshot of Sarah. And we'll talk about Sarah in a little bit. But Sarah doesn't come out. You notice that. And in a moment we'll see what Abraham's dealings with Sarah are. But Sarah stays in the tent. We never see her come out of the tent. She stays in the tent the whole time while he's entertaining the guest. Now, wouldn't you think that if they were entertaining guests, that he would have invited his wife to come out and be with them, or they would have asked for his wife to come out? Well, we'll see later where the Lord, or these three men, knew that she was there. They knew that she was there listening, and they knew her thoughts. But at this time, he doesn't invite her out. Now, I want us to notice several things about these guests. I want to read down, before we do that, I want to read down through verse 10. Because these things that I want to talk about are in these verses. So back up to verse 5. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." So he's going to prepare a meal for them. Boy, he's going to have a servant fetch water so they can have their feet washed. And he tells them to rest under the tree. So there's a tree right there by the tent. And he's going to fetch a morsel of bread. In other words, we'll see in a moment where he's going to have Sarah cook a meal for him. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Again, we see Abraham get in a hurry and goes into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth." So she's to make some bread, unleavened bread. If you want to get down to it, that's what this is. She's not going to have time to put yeast in it and let it rise. He's telling her, take some fine meal. Where did we see that before? Remember with the days of unleavened bread, they were to use fine meal. And to knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. So she's to make, he says, 3 measures. In other words, enough for 3 people is what that's for. And notice he says, make ready quickly. He tells her to hurry up, make it. You wouldn't think that a man who's 99 years old would tell his 89-year-old wife, hurry up and make this. Because in our day and time, that's probably not going to happen. At least not quickly. Verse 7, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender. Again, we see Abraham running. And good, a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he has to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So these 3 men ate a meal with Abraham. Abraham gathers all this stuff. He starts with Sarah, then he gets this young man to dress a calf. He provides them with butter and milk and meat and bread, everything for a meal. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. So let's stop there for a moment. And there's 6 things I want us to look at. One is in verse 1. We see it is the Lord himself who appears to Abraham. In verse 1, the very first line in verse 1, the Lord and the Lord appeared unto him. It is the Lord himself. In verse 2, we see the Lord appears in the form of 3 men. It is not one person, it is 3. That's why we believe that it's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that are represented here. If you look in verse 2, it says 3 men stood by him. The third thing, if you notice in verse 3, Abraham refers to these 3 men as my Lord. Singular. Not plural. Not as 3 men, but plural. Singular. As one. And he says, if now I have found favor, he says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. This is Abraham addressing the Lord singular, even though there's 3 of them present. In verse 4, Abraham speaks in the plural as talking to 3 men. So in verse 4 he says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. The words your, where he talks about wash your feet, and in the yourselves, where he says rest yourselves under the tree, are in the plural here. They're not singular, they're plural. So Abraham addresses them as 3 different people. 3 different men. In verse 5, the Lord responds to Abram Abraham in the plural as three men. Verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And here's the Lord speaking. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So we see the Lord himself here speaks in the plural as three different men. The sixth thing, again in verse 9, we see the Lord speak in the plural. Verse 9 says, and they said unto him, they speaking of the Lord, or as these three men, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10, he speaks in the singular again, speaking of the Lord, speaking in the singular. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent which was behind him. So, in verse 10, the word he, where he said, and he said, is singular. And the word I, the very next word, I, will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. So, the word I is singular also. So we see the Lord and Abraham both going back and forth between the plural and the singular here. So there's three, Abraham is seeing three people, but he also recognizes that this is the Holy Trinity. This is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's no denying that, I don't believe, in this case. But he sees three men, but he addresses them at times, he addresses them as one. When he's talking about godly things, as far as spiritual matters, he refers to him in the singular. But when it comes to their physical matters, as far as feeding them, washing their feet, other things, physical, he refers to the three. Because why? Because they're in the bodies of men. They're three. They have appeared as men, and they are in physical bodies. They look like any other men. Nothing out of the ordinary with them. We don't see any description of what they look like other than they appeared as men. There's no mention of anything else other than that. We know that they have feet, that he's offering to wash their feet. We know that they're hungry because they eat a meal. And some say, well, why would God, or the Lord, the Holy Trinity, why would, if he's perfect, if he's God, why would he hunger? Well, remember when Jesus came in to earth after his earthly birth, and he came in the body of a man, he hungered. We see that. He hungered and he thirsted. So the Holy Trinity here, even though they are the Holy Trinity, they're still in the bodies of men which hunger and thirst. Now, verses 9 through 15, we see Sarah's part of this story. So let's read verses 9 through 15. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Remember, Abraham has never asked her to come out and introduce her to these people, to these three men. But these three men, notice they know who Sarah is. They call her by name. They asked Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? So they know who Sarah is. And notice Abraham never asks, how do you know her? He knows how they know her because he knows who they are. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And so, in other words, she was past childbearing years. She was, at least humanly speaking, was no longer able to produce a child, to bear a child. And at her age, it would have been very difficult on her body, physically. God had to prepare her body for this, whether he kept parts of her body youthful, however he did it, we don't know. He doesn't tell us. We just know that God has did something special to her body, a miracle to her body, that at her age she is able to bear a son to full term. It's not like he just magically appears. She carries the baby full term, full 9 months. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" So not only is Sarah barren and past the age of carrying a child, but Abraham and Sarah both, she says, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Her Lord here speaking of Abraham, her husband. They're past the age of being able to, or at least she thinks, being able to produce a child, to carry out the act. And notice she laughed within herself. Not out loud, but within inside herself. She has heard the word of the Lord herself, from the Lord himself, and has laughed at it. And that will have consequences later. But we see she hears the Lord's prophecy of her having a child with Abraham, but she laughs at the thought of them both being physically able. Not just her, but for both of them. She mentions both of them. In verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" So the Lord has heard her laughter and has heard her thoughts. Because notice she hasn't said these things out loud. She said them to herself. Abraham didn't even hear her say it. Now I'm sure with them being married, there's been times in their marriage where Sarah has voiced these concerns to Abraham. And so that I believe that's one reason for the ordeal with Hagar. Sarah was past childbearing years at that time. And because of Abraham's devotion to God and God's covenant, he desired a son and was willing to do anything possible to make that happen. That's what a works-based salvation gets you, right? Abraham practiced his free will in that matter. And it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't God's will. But the Lord has heard Sarah's laugh, and her laughing, almost laughing to scorn. I mean, she's just, she doesn't believe it can happen. In verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" This is the Lord speaking. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything I can't do? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." God says, "I'm going to make this happen. And when the time comes, I'll be there to help. I'll be there to make it happen." "Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." So Sarah has heard the Lord say that I heard, telling Abraham, I heard Sarah laugh. And Sarah hears this, and it appears as though that at this point in time she either comes out of the tent or they've come into the tent, one of the two. Maybe she's come out to bring the bread, I don't know. But she faces these three men, the Lord, and she denies that she laughed. Isn't that how we are oftentimes when we're unfaithful and we doubt the promises the Lord has made? Oftentimes we laugh within ourselves that, hey, there's no way that can happen. There's no way, that's not going to happen. She said, I laughed not. She denied it. when we get caught, we often say, "Well, I didn't do that. That's not what, or that's not what I meant by that." Or so we come up with all kinds of excuses. And it says the reason that she did this was because she was afraid. Why was she afraid? Because I think now she realizes that she laughed at the Lord. And he said, the Lord, speaking of the Lord here, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." The Lord told her, "You did laugh. I heard it. I saw it." Remember, God's omniscient. He can see and hear everything. It goes on. He heard her laugh. He knew her thoughts. He's already talked about that. Back in verse 13, he heard her thoughts. And he tells Abraham, "I heard what she laughed about." Now, the Lord knew Sarah's thoughts and reminds her and Abraham that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Verse 14, the very first part, is anything too hard for the Lord? We see that over and over and over again in the Scripture, where the Lord tells His people at different times, different people, not just Sarah and Abraham, you know, David, Solomon, Moses, Joshua, all the way through history in the Old Testament and in the New Testament too. We see the Lord telling His people, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, it has to be the Lord's will. There are those who will try to force little things on the Lord, and it doesn't work that way. The salvation of souls, I think, is a prime example. If a person is not God's chosen, God's not going to save him. If he's not one of God's elect, or they are not one of God's elect, is that because it's too hard for the Lord to save them? No, it's because He made that decree before time began that there was only going to be His elect that were going to be saved. There are things, prophecies in the Scripture. Some have come about, some have not come about yet. And we look at those prophecies and we think, how is that even possible? But then when we see the ones that have been revealed so far, the ones that have been fulfilled, we think, oh, well, God did that. It had to be because of God. Just like this story of Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac, it was all prophesied of. It was all foretold to Abraham and Sarah early on. And yet they still doubted. Abraham had his doubts, remember, in the last chapter and a few chapters before that. But the Lord has proved Himself over and over again to Abraham. Now remember when Abraham and Sarah went into Egypt and Abraham was worried that because of Sarah's beauty, and Abraham was almost 75 years old at that time. And Sarah was almost 65, so they weren't young, a young couple anymore. But Sarah was still a beautiful woman. And Abraham was worried that the Egyptians would kill him to take his wife. And so that that didn't happen, he passed her off as his sister and not as his wife. And when God put plagues on Pharaoh because of it, Pharaoh recognized the problem and found out that Sarah was Abraham's wife and not his sister, and threw him out of the country. Told him to get out and leave us alone. Again, that was a time where God had made a promise to Abraham that he was going to protect him and Sarah, because God had already told Abraham at that point. In that point in time, Abraham already knew the promise. He already knew the covenant with God. But he got to thinking about himself and not the things of God. Same thing here with Sarah. You know, Sarah, I'm sure, being Abraham's wife and being with Abraham, having this large, these large group of servants that were under him, and even, you know, at one time Lot and his family were with him. But Sarah has been looked upon as as the matriarch of all of those. She's not their mother, but they look to her as a mother figure, as they did Abraham as a father figure. And she has seen many of these women have children. She may have even helped with them having children. It doesn't tell us, but she may have. So she knows the process. She knows that there's 9 months of very hard times sometimes with childbearing. And then the child, the birth itself, how difficult it is on a woman. I'm sure Sarah was thinking that there's no way a woman my age could go through all that. There's no way. If she did conceive, the woman and the child both would likely die, humanly speaking, because she would not be able, physically would not be able to carry the child. But we see the Lord makes it possible. And the Lord tells them, is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course not. And the Lord gives them a little bit of reassurance there. In the rest of verse 14, he says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So the Lord's going to come back at that time, that when it's time, the time of life, when it's time for the child to be born. He's going to help with this. He's going to comfort them during this time. Sarah's not going to be left alone. So we're going to stop there with this part of the chapter. I thought about going ahead and finishing the rest of the chapter this morning, but I think we're going to stop because I want to take that up with next time, because the rest of this chapter ties into chapter 19. And in the beginning of Sodom and Gomorrah, the next time, we're only going to go through about verse 28 or 29 in the next chapter and stop there. So we'll tie these two chapters together with the next time. So that's all we have for this morning.